Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I've been looking forward to this all day, Crowder. Actually, all week.
All week.
To be quite honest. To be quite honest. And it's a Dolphins Friday and a football Friday, and we are on the precipice here of really being able to get into a football weekend. By the way, before I bring this guy on, I want to remind everybody you could join Zach Krantz for Canes Toledo Dos Equis Watch Party. It's at American Social Brickell tomorrow, noon. That's when kickoff is. The WQAM street team will have Dos Equis giveaways, and you'll have a chance to win a 60-gallon cooler. Dos Equis. Keep it interesante. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. All right, here we go. Jeff Cameron, and you and I, we've talked about this, right, since FSU unveiled the backpack?
The pocketbook, yeah.
The pocketbook.
Yeah. We wanted an answer. We need somebody that knows.
Right, and see if anyone in Tallahassee is, you know, singing the praise. Like we do down here with the turnover chain, I'm proud of it. Being a University of Miami graduate, I have more pride in it than you do, obviously.
But even a Gator, it's cool.
Right, you can acknowledge.
Yes.
You can acknowledge that it's cool. Who'd we see that has the throne? I forget.
Boise
somebody,
State.
Was it Boise State has the throne?
That's pretty cool,
right,
too.
It's cool. Yeah. Like, you can acknowledge when something's cool. Jeff Cameron, he is going to join us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Jeff Cameron is a radio host for ESPN Radio in Tallahassee. And so I want to see, will he acknowledge that the turnover backpack is lame? Will he have some sort of contextual explanation?
Because he talks to FSU fans all day.
Right. Like, maybe they're all in love with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, Jeff Cameron, thank you for making time for us, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, Mark. Chang, good to talk to you.
What is your take, an official Tallahassee representative, a sports radio host in Tallahassee? What's your take on the FSU turnover backpack?
Yeah, so this is great. So I just heard you say, so you're a Miami alum, I'm a Florida State alum, Jane went to Florida, obviously, so we're all represented here, and I can tell you that it's with great sorrow and shame that I have to try to talk to you about the damn backpack, because it's an embarrassment.
Okay, all right, good. So you can acknowledge that there's just nothing cool about it.
No, there's nothing cool about it. The only way it could become cool is if somehow Florida State starts causing 5 to 6 turnovers a game. Then suddenly you're like, you know what, I'm kind of in love with the bag. But for the most part, I think everybody that either weighed in on the subject, called into my show, emailed, tweeted, whatever it was, when that got unveiled, everybody went, what are they doing? No. So it's not popular. It's not popular.
And, Jeff, with the genesis of it, like the first time you saw it, did you know there was something coming and then the book bag came? Was it a surprise? The first time you saw the book bag, what did you say to yourself?
I said, that thing looks pink. And so it wasn't even garnet. And then they told me that it was garnet, but that the way the light was shining in a night game, you couldn't tell. I said, no, man, that's pink. And then, in addition to that, it's stupid. So, listen, Florida State's got one of, and I think this is objectively true, one of the cooler traditions, man. Why couldn't it just be a big-ass sphere?
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you just hold up a huge sphere?
We were talking about that on the air. Like Crowder says, with the horse and the spear, like,
yes,
it's already a great tradition there. And then Crowder pointed out something, too. You know, like, I was at the UM game. They killed Savannah State last Saturday. But I was at Hard Rock Stadium. And everyone is walking around with turnover chains. You could buy that,
right,
Cuban link chain everywhere. Crowder was pointing out, you can't even wear a backpack into a stadium.
No, nobody's going to get behind this. Like I said, the only way it happens is if all of a sudden they transform into this turnover-creating machine, and then all of a sudden you wouldn't care if it was a backpack, a necklace, a bracelet, a shoe. You wouldn't care. But outside of that, there's no way to objectively say, hey, I think that looks cool. It's not cool. I think it's cool, like Rice has a turnover chalice.
Yeah, the chalice. Chalice was cool.
Yeah, chalice is cool. You could do so many different things. I'll be honest with you. When Miami broke out the turnover chain, and, you know, we needle Miami just as Miami needles Florida State. And, you know, we know how it works in this state. Well, last year when I saw that thing, I go, man, that's really cool because that is so Miami. And we all had a laugh, but we thought it was cool. And, you know, that's kind of fun to see something get created like that. And I understand why people want to mimic it, copy it, do something that's uniquely theirs. I don't know how the hell they came up with a backpack. It's desperate, it's not good, and there's no defending it. And I haven't heard a single Florida State fan say they like it. And if you do, it's going to be because they just want to be combative because they don't want to admit it's ugly.
And Jeff, when I saw the turnover book bag, I was laughing. But then I saw Willie Taggart had on a whistle on the sideline that he's not even allowed to blow during the game, or they're going to penalize him. It sounds like a Willie Taggart push with this book bag because he's the whistle guy.
He's a whistle guy, and I love Willie, and he's been fun to get to know, and he's a great talk, you know, conversation. He's a great quote. He's honest. He's got a tough task ahead of him because this offensive line is terrible, so they've got some real issues there. But, yeah, I think Willie is probably going to have to revisit some game day traditions as this thing goes further along.
Jeff Cameron is with us. He's a radio host for ESPN Radio in Tallahassee. So you have had no one that's arguing the merits of the turnover merce.
No, so this is kind of funny. I had a guy say, and I don't disagree with him, he said, man, I think Florida State fans and Florida State's best, and in a weird way, this is just like at Miami, when the rest of the country hates us, then we tend to embrace whatever it is that they hate. So when Florida State won 29 straight games and Winston was a quarterback and every week in that 2014 season after the national championship, every game was close, and people would get so damn mad when Florida State would win. And then there was the whole meme that got started with Not Tonight haters and, you know, the DiCaprio cheers thing. And people, the fan base embraced that and just loved the fuel of the hate. You know, they just lived off of it. So the only way it gets turned around is, like, you can embrace the backpack if all of a sudden they started playing a lot better and winning games, and then you could just wear it with pride, even though you know it looks stupid.
Yeah, like that thing when you're barely beating Samford and then you have a pink backpack, it's like, yeah, what are we doing? So what does FSU do with this? Do they just kind of pretend that this never happened and there's a turnover and you're just like, yeah, everybody just kind of walk their own way?
Well, I think it all depends on what happens. I think the whole season depends on what happens this weekend. Like, if they go up and beat Syracuse and look normal, they look like a team should look when playing Syracuse, and they cause four turnovers, they'll probably raise it aloft, man, like it's the Lion King. But if they go and lose, they got to burn it, and they need to have a public execution of the backpack and move on.
And as you're saying, Jeff, I agree with you. If they're winning, you kind of fall in line if you're undefeated, top 10 in the nation. You know, VTech lost 24-3 and in a close game to SMU. Is it fixable? Like, can Willie turn this around?
Not in year one. I don't think he can. No, serious talk, Jenny. They're bad up front. And, see, the problem is the inherited mess he got up front. Last year, Florida State lost six games. Everybody knows that. And largely the problem there was they couldn't consistently block it up. You can't do anything if you can't block it up. So no matter the system they're running, whether it's pro style, whether it's spread, up tempo, it doesn't make a difference if I can't block you. So that going into the season, that was the greatest concern, was that at best they would be average up front on the offensive line. But then they had three injuries to those starters right off the bat. So now you don't even get adequate play, average play, on the offensive line. I think there's real fear. Now, Florida State, and fans take great pride in this, and they should, have had 41 consecutive winning seasons, 36 straight bowl appearances. I really think that's at risk of falling by the wayside this year if they don't find a way to somehow offset the negative that is their offensive line.
Jeff Cameron, again, he's a host at ESPN Radio in Tallahassee. He's our new Tallahassee correspondent. We'll go to Jeff for it. Because, you know, I appreciate your honesty here because, again, like you say, UM fans, we needle FSU fans and Gator fans, and, you know, there's this this three-way rivalry and whatnot, but you have to be able to acknowledge what's cool, what's not. And I didn't know if you were going to come on the radio today and sing the merits of the backpack and talk about how FSU Nation is really rallying behind the backpack. So when you're walking around Tallahassee, you're not seeing a lot of people wearing those $400 Garnet backpacks?
Nobody.
No one.
Not one.
There's not a single person wearing one.
Not a single person.
And I imagine if somebody was, someone might go up to them and say, hey, what is that? Like it hasn't caught the nation by fire.
When we saw it, we were all just absolutely flummoxed. And then afterwards, you know, Willie was asked about it. And it was funny because the press, you know, it's not your job to kind of bait a coach. But several members of the press were like, Willie, about the backpack, you could hear it, you know, you could hear it in their voice. And he kind of knew where they were coming from. He's like, well, if we start winning, they'll be all right with the backpack. But even he didn't sound like a man that was coming from a place of confidence with that statement. I think he knows that's not going to work.
But to seeing it, I think y'all are taking the wrong approach. Y'all are going to see the football team and the fraternities. You're talking about a pink purse. Maybe go to the sororities.
Like,
sorority
have
some of
them. So, like, get them behind
there you go.
It. It's actually not a bad approach. The man's got game, Jeff. You can admit he's a Florida Gator, but he's got game.
He's got game, and it's a good point. And, by the way, that's what Florida State's kind of known for in a way beyond the football is the fact that it's usually a 2-to-1 girl-to-guy ratio at this university. So, maybe that's the way to go.
Hey, Jeff, you don't have to tell me about Tallahassee. When I was in Gainesville, I hated, Leon Washington and Greg Jones. But I would be in Tallahassee every other weekend during the offseason. To the fact of what you just said, there are more women walking around Tallahassee than anywhere in the world. I have to be right there.
And really, in Crowder's dorm room, there was a 3-to-1 girl-to-guy ratio. And he lived alone.
I grew up down in Tampa, but I finished school up here, and I never left for the reasons that you're talking about.
All right, Jeff Cameron, ESPN Radio in Tallahassee. So but you do think that if there's a turnover in the game against Syracuse tomorrow, that they're going to break out the backpack, or is it possible?
No, I don't think they're going to throw it to the wayside just yet. I think they'll do it. They'll see. I think they're banking on a 4 or 5 turnover game or something like that, so that he can try to argue for it. It's still not going to be cool, but I don't think they'll get rid of it in week 3.
Have the players been asked about it at all?
You know, I didn't ask any of the players about it. I'm sure somebody on the beat asked the players about it, but they probably just said, well, we came up with it last second. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it was very well thought out.
No, especially because you can't bring one into a stadium. That's the part that I'm just, floored by when Crowder pointed that out. Like, you could bring in a chalice. You potentially could bring in a throne, but it's actually what makes the throne cooler is that you really, like, that's a big piece.
Yes.
But, like, who had the turnover beads?
Tulane.
Tulane.
Yeah,
like,
LSU,
you know, stuff that the fans can wear. Like, you literally cannot wear. If you showed up at Doak Campbell with a backpack,
you're getting turned around.
You're going to get turned around, which it's a terrible promotion.
They just need to go to the Sphere. The default is always the Sphere, even though you can't walk into the stadium.
I was going to say, I think they might turn you back, too, with a Sphere, depending on how much it's sharpened.
You could give away replica Spheres, and you could have shirts, obviously, with the turnover Sphere on it. You could do it, but you can't. Nobody wants to wear that damn backpack.
Yeah, no, I understand why. Jeff Cameron, radio host, ESPN Radio in Tallahassee. Thank you for making time for us, Jeff.
Sure thing, fellas. Be well.
I would say good luck against Syracuse, but I don't mean it.
Hey, you guys try not to lose to Toledo.
How dare you? How dare you? See you, Jeff. Jeff Cameron, ESPN Radio in Tallahassee. Speaking of UM and Toledo, Bruce Gradkowski is going to join us next. I know it's a Dolphins Friday, and we could talk NFL with him. He had a longtime NFL career. Yeah. But Bruce Gradkowski is the most famous quarterback ever from Toledo.
Quarterback?
Athlete?
Most famous person.
Like, most famous athlete ever out of Toledo.
Gotta be.
Bruce Gradkowski, he played for the Toledo Rockets. He played in the NFL. You must have played against Bruce Gradkowski.
He was on some teams I was playing against. But, I don't think I ever touched a field with him.
All right, we will.
I was a starter.
We will talk with Bruce Gradkowski when we come back.
Radio.
Cool and the Gang?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, like it. Bruce Gradkowski is fresh. Fresh. Maybe he's not. I don't know.
I would say yes.
All right, let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood, buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Bruce Gradkowski, he is an 11-year NFL veteran, the greatest quarterback to come out of the University of Toledo ever. He was on this show last season when the Toledo Rockets came here. Now UM is going to Toledo.
The Glass Bowl.
This will also be Bruce Gradkowski's final appearance on our show because I think it's just a one-in-one series, and then that's it. So he's joining us now. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, guys. How you doing? And I think you're right. I think this will be the last time I saw head coach Mark Richt's press conference when he talked about how he inherited this game going to Toledo.
Well, let me ask you about this. Crowder and I just learned this yesterday. Yesterday, I was reading an article from The Blaze, I think. Was it The Blaze or something?
The Blaze.
The Blade. The Blade. Yeah, The Blaze,
yeah,
is, the Blaze. Is
a pizza joint, isn't
no,
it?
But, well, oh. Blaze Pizza. But The Blaze is that radio show host's website. Oh, I can't think of the guy's name. Anyway, he's a conservative dude. Anyway, I'm reading this thing in The Blade. I had no idea. None of us had any idea what a huge deal it is for Toledo that UM is coming there. And this article talked about how Glenn Beck, that's the guy I was thinking of. He's got The Blaze. All right, moving on. So I had no idea that UM coming to the Glass Bowl, which is the name of the stadium, which I think is pretty cool, is a huge deal for Toledo.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's the U, right, Crowder? So I know you're a Florida Gator, but anytime you have the Miami Hurricanes coming into your stadium, I mean, that's a big deal. Now, I think the biggest team we've ever had coming in ranked was my sophomore year, and it was number 9 Pitt with Larry Fitzgerald. And we ended up beating those guys. But talking about the history and just an all-time great university that you want to face and they're known, I mean, it's Miami. So I think that's a hype around it. It's you never would think the Hurricanes would come into the Glass Bowl. So everyone's fired up for it.
And what does a big game in the Glass Bowl consist of? Is it women? Is it a good party? And what does it consist of when people get jacked up in the Glass Bowl, Bruce?
Man, you guys need to come and find out. It's everything.
Why do they call it the Glass Bowl?
Well, because Toledo's like the glass city. That's where I think glass was developed or made, glass bottles, and so it's a Glass Bowl. But it, you know what? It's one of the nicer stadiums in the MAC. It's actually a really nice stadium. It's all closed in. You know, the one end zone is the football building, the facility. So that has a scoreboard, and then the other three sides are all closed in with stands. The other end zone, the student section, there's a really nice big 3-story press box that's huge, top of the line. And honestly, Toledo serves probably the best food. Since I do the radio for them, that's the thing I most look forward to pregame is the food.
Bruce Gradkowski, I would imagine that's a ringing endorsement because probably 11 years worth of food just on NFL teams to look forward to Toledo's food. Is Toledo known, the city itself? You said it's known for glass. Does it have a food item, you know, where like, you know, Kansas City is barbecue and whatnot? Is there a Toledo food item?
Well, guys, it's funny you ask. I actually own a restaurant called Social Gastro Pub. And we do some, like, hip new foods. I mean, we have your salmon tacos, pork chops, great burgers. But also you probably heard of, like, Tony Paco's. It's like a, you know, a hot dog place that's just well-known where people come in. They go there. And but Toledo's a nice little city. I think it's grown as far as the healthcare company, ProMedica, reinvesting in downtown, trying to build it up. But I think as far as the atmosphere on game days, I was kind of hoping this was a night game because Toledo usually plays night games. But the Glass Bowl will be packed. I mean, packed for us is probably about 30,000 fans. But it'll be an exciting atmosphere.
Bruce Gradkowski. I know that's going to make a promo. I just did it again. Bruce Gradkowski. I had a migraine today. So,
oh, yeah, Jesus
just,
Christ.
I'm just saying, cut me a little bit of slack. No, it's not a headache.
It's a headache.
It's a migraine.
It's a migraine. Tighten up.
All right, Mr. CTE.
EpiPen. You take EpiPen.
Bruce Gradkowski, the greatest quarterback. That's not incorrect, right? Greatest quarterback to ever come out of the University of Toledo, right?
Man, you guys are too kind. You know what? I held about 19 school records until the last couple years. Logan Woodside broke them all, you know, and he did a great job. He was drafted last year in the seventh round by the Bengals, and now he's currently on the practice squad for the Tennessee Titans. But,
Bruce Gradkowski is the greatest quarterback to come out of the University of Toledo.
I'm not going to argue with you.
It does sound good, Bruce, but people on the text line are killing us because we said best player ever, and they brought up Kareem Hunt and Dan Williams. I don't know. I still got you, Bruce.
I appreciate it. Look, hey, Kareem Hunt's a great player. I think he's having a great career so far. He's still young. You know, this is his second year, but to lead the league in rushing as a rookie was impressive. But it just shows, honestly, like in Crowder, you know how it is. When you come out and you go through that recruiting process, like I always wanted to go to Penn State. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I wanted to go to Penn State. That didn't happen, but I was able to go to Toledo where I could develop into the person and the man I could become and to get the best out of me. Now it's Toledo, and so that's why you see guys like Kareem Hunt, myself, Lance Moore, Nick Kayser, Andrew Hawkins, Barry Church, the safety for the Jaguars, all coming out of Toledo because those guys have dominated Toledo, but they're also able to be four-year starters and get all that playing time.
Give us a little scouting report on Toledo. Miami's a 10 to 10.5 point favorite tomorrow. What can you tell us about the Rockets?
You know, Toledo's a very good football team all around. Just like Miami, they have 14 returning starters from a year ago. Two more actually were injured, so about 16. Our coach, the Toledo Rockets, Jason Candle, he was the MAC Coach of the Year, just like Mark Richt was ACC Coach of the Year. But Toledo they're a good football team. You know, you could tell when a team's clicking on all cylinders, and they have it. They have a good defense, good in special teams. They have a good kicker, and offensively they're good. Now, the question mark is it quarterback? I mean, it's a first-year playing for Mitch Guadagni. He's a junior. But he's a little more athletic than Woodside from a year ago. He doesn't throw it as well as Woodside, but he could make probably more plays outside the pocket. But it's going to be all dependent on how he plays. You know, and really, I think it depends on how both quarterback plays, from Rozier to Guadagni.
And, Bruce, when you talk about the MAC, we were just talking about, like, Kareem Hunt. And you talk about those smaller conferences where I think they can have receivers and running backs. I think the difference between the MAC and the SEC are the big boys. Does Toledo have some big boys? Like, can they keep up with UM's offensive and defensive front? Because I think that's where the biggest difference is when you go conference to conference.
Oh, you're definitely right. You know, and I was kind of laughing about it this morning because they talk about how their three studs up front, you know, graduated – going to the draft last year, and I'm like, it's Miami. They keep pumping these guys out year in and year out. I mean, you look what John Garvin and Gerard Willis have done, and you know, what was Willis? 8 tackles, 4 tackles for losses and a sack against LSU.
He was a monster. He was the only monster.
The best player on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you're right, Crowder. I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, Toledo's got some beef up front too on the line. I think the defensive line is good as well, but, you know, it's a different level. You know, you're talking about, you guys have guys that look like NFL-type studs up front. But Toledo also, the last few years, I mean, look, Toledo's right tackle and left tackle are both 6'8". One's 380, one's 340. Their interior line is big, 6'6", 6'3", 6'4". And you look at your D-line, 6'5", 6'3", 6'4", 6'4". So you guys got studs up front. So that's where it's going to be, and I'm talking about your defensive line. But that's the matchup. I mean, I definitely think that's where it's at, is up front. Who wins the line of scrimmage?
Bruce Gradkowski is with us. What do you know of Miami's quarterback, Malik Rozier? I mean, you played the position. Have you seen him play much?
You know, I did last year a little bit. I mean, I thought the dude's smooth. He's poised. He looks good when he can play good. I mean, when he's playing on, he looks like he could be a Heisman candidate, and I think that's even what Rick's son even said. But when he's off, you know, so he has to continue to grow. I mean, this is his second year starting, so he has to play more comfortable and really take a hold of this team. And this Miami team will go, I think, as far as he can take them, you know. So he has to take that next step. And that's why it's intriguing for me to see is what quarterback shows up for you guys, you know, because if he shows up the type of player he can be, then I think we're going to have our hands full.
Let me segue quickly, as long as we have some time with you, to the NFL. First of all, who's the best quarterback in the NFL right now? Is it Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Or might you say Ben Roethlisberger?
You know, it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the guy, his abilities and his skill set is like not no other. I mean, I think if Rodgers is in New England, I don't think they lose the game. They probably have 8 Super Bowls, but you know, and that's not against Tom Brady. It's just saying, I mean, Aaron Rodgers physically is so gifted. And Tom Brady, though, Tom Brady's one of the best as well. I mean, look what he has done, so you can't argue that. But I think Tom Brady also has the best coach around. Tom Brady works his tail off. But I always have to say Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you probably saw what he did the other night where he comes back with a bum knee and comes back to win, being down 20-0.
And, Bruce, you're the best guy to ask this because you were a part of it. You play quarterback. When you get one of these young phenoms, like Sam Darnold is right now after one game against Detroit, everybody's saying, you know, oh, he's the future of the Jets and all. I say take it easy. How long do you need? You personally, how long until – how many games? Is it 8 games, a year, 2 years? Is it just the eye test until you in your heart will say, you know what, Sam Darnold's special?
Well, you know what, I agree. You got to pump the brakes a little bit. I think I like what Coach Bowles is doing over there. He's not naming him like the franchise quarterback. I mean, Bowles knows what he brings, and he knows he is the franchise quarterback. But there's no need to continue to put more pressure on the young kid. I think what it comes down to is Sam Darnold's got all the tools and talent, and can he consistently do it week in and week out? And that's the difference. And Crowder, you know, it's about being able to stay healthy, stay available, and being able to be consistently good. You know, I started off really fast as a rookie and was able to start 11 games. Now, I was lighting it up in the preseason. I lit it up my first start in the Superdome against the Saints, throw for 230 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interception. You know, and so everyone starts hyping me up. Well, then, you know, towards the end of the year, the wheels fall off. You know, you're overthinking things too much. You're trying to play perfect. You're trying to satisfy John Gruden, which is really hard to do, maybe even impossible. So a lot of things play into it. But I think Darnold has the poise to be able to handle all that. And I think that's what it's about. And I think if we're sitting here at the end of the season and the Jets have been competitive all year round, you're going to know that this is the guy. Because look at Peyton Manning's rookie year. I mean, I think he threw a ton of interceptions. But they knew from the kind of guy he is that he was a franchise guy and he'd be one of the best. So I think Sam Darnold has it all, but you want to see him put a few good games, half a season together, a whole season. But I think he has what it takes to be a franchise guy.
I'm glad you talked about your stats and what you did when you, in your career, because my next question, Bruce, was Nathan Peterman is starting at quarterback in the NFL.
Well, not anymore.
Do you feel like you could still play at least as a backup with the terrible quarterbacking going on right now?
Man, I still question it. You know, I still think about it. The thing for me, though, is towards the end of my career, to go out to practice every day, you know, you're taking 4 or 6 Advil just to get through practice because my shoulder, you know, and maybe since I've had a year or two off, it would feel better. But I've thought about that, you know, because you look around the league, even what Fitzpatrick did this past weekend, and Fitzpatrick doesn't have the strongest arm, but he's smart. He knows where to put the ball, and that's what I would compare myself to. So when I see him have a big game, I'm thinking, man, if I could get back in the right system, I think I could do it. Maybe I should come down there there to the Dolphins with you guys?
Brock Osweiler is not going
to
do it.
I'll tell you,
it.
There's a lot of Dolphin fans that would like to see Crowder back at linebacker, so maybe we can make it a tandem.
Bruce, there's so much beer in my system. It's ridiculous. There's no way I can play again.
This dude owns a gastropub. There's plenty in his, too.
Right.
Bruce Gradkowski, the University of Toledo, University of Miami, tomorrow kicks off at noon. You will hear the game here on this radio station. Pregame begins at 8 a.m. Want to give us a prediction on the way out? Are you going to swing the baton for the Rockets?
Yeah, you know, hey, I have to go with my Rockets. But it's going to be a close one. I think Toledo will give them a fight. Like I said, I hope I see a good game, though. I don't want to see your QB play bad. I don't want to see our QB play bad. I want to see everyone's best effort on the field because that's what you like to see. And I'm going to have to say, you know, Toledo squeaks this one out 42-38.
Wow. All right. Take the over. I don't know if I don't know if I like the outcome, but I'll take the over. Bruce Gradkowski, thank you for making time for us, Bruce. We enjoyed it.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure.
And we should do this more often because we can talk NFL. It doesn't have to be Toledo.
Exactly. Let me know.
All right. Valero, get on that. I don't know why you dog Bruce Gradkowski on it.
I'll write it in my notes.
Yeah, because when Valero says on it,
what are we doing?
Who knows? Thank you, Bruce.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, let me ask you a question real quick.
What's that?
Is it – so because I watched the game last week, how do you guys say – is it Rozier or Rozier?
I can't stop saying Rozier just because I'm used to it, but apparently he right. wants to be called Malik Rozier.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, because I think last year I called him Rozier all year, and then I just listened to the LSU game, and they're saying Rozier.
Yeah, everybody did. Everybody did, so – That's what you got. All right, Bruce Gradkowski. Thank you, Bruce.
All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
I do enjoy talking to him. We should make that more often.
Should. A good guess.
Valero doesn't keep track of things the way I need him to.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.